Let's see, Mr. Crawford, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Could you please rise and face the flag and follow with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Also, Mr. Crawford, do you have a, do you have another item?
Yes, if I could have your attention and the board's. I've been associated with this school district for close to 50 years now, and more importantly, I've had the unique pleasure of working for and then working as a board member for three consecutive elected terms with an individual, a person I consider the best superintendent this school district has ever had, and it's not even close. I know she has begged everyone not to give her anything special. I hope she thinks and considers this special. This comes from all of us on the board who truly do love her. And she, if nothing else, deserves this award for putting up with me for 33 years. This is a diamond, which, Gay, is a reflection not only of perfection, which you do reflect, but it says here, Dr. Gay Starkey, Marysville Joint Unified School District, 2005-2019. Career achievement recognition and grateful appreciation for your hard work and service to the families of our community, and it's presented by this full school board.
Thank you.
I know you do. You gotta give it quick. You gotta give BS to me. Thank you. Oh, here, let it. I could get a box with it. Hey, you can throw that in.
So there was nothing to report out of closed session. The board will be going back to closed session after the open session meeting. So public comments. We have no public comments. The next item is the superintendent.
And actually, we're going to go a little out of order this evening, and I'm going to ask the board's indulgence to skip over to categorical programs. And Jamie Larson is here to present her two items if you have questions. The first item is a local control and accountability plan, the federal addendum, which is something new. So, Jamie, perhaps you could speak to it just briefly.
Good evening. The LCAP federal addendum is a component that is like a complementary piece to the LCAP. It's not tied into the LCAP in any way, but what it does is it lets the state of California and us as a district meet all of the Every Student Succeed Act requirements in terms of highlighting how we are using our federal funds. And so the application was fairly simple. CDE put a character limit on us because they didn't want to have to read all of those responses, I'm sure. So it's a fairly succinct, it goes through each one of our federal programs and just briefly highlights how we are meeting the requirements in ESSA. And I'd be happy to address any components of it if there are any questions.
So, Jamie, this is for the district, it doesn't include MCAA, is that?
That is correct. Okay. It is a district application. And this is one time in nature. CDE does not forecast that they will be requiring us to submit this every year. It's a great tool for us to use and to go through and look at every year, but they are saying it's a one and done type of application.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions for board members? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second will be Mr. Fleury. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes.
The second item under the categorical programs is the 2019-20 Consolidated Application for Funding and Assurances. This is an annual application. This just happens to be the one for the upcoming school year for the 19-20 school year.
Are there any questions for board members or comments? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Back to page.
And now we'll go back to page two of seven. This evening, I have for you my version of the LCAP. You did receive a copy of our very small LCAP. It's gone from the beginning of like 7 pages, and now it's considerably longer. The state continues to add more requirements. So what I have done, as I've done in years past, I've kind of condensed it and made it the Reader's Digest version. So tonight I have for you the proposed Marysville Joint Unified School District Local Control Accountability Plan, known as the LCAP, for the upcoming school year, which is the 2019-20 school year. Just as a point of review, we do have meetings where we bring our constituents in, representing all of the groups, and I have the list for you on the next couple of slides. We have specific goals for each meeting. We used to do about 4 meetings, and then we just got really good at consolidating and getting the folks in. And so this year we met on March 21st and April 11th.
So, excuse me, Dr. Starkey, have we formally opened the public hearing, or?
I thought I heard you say that, but go right ahead.
Okay.
That would be good. Okay. I was so anxious to give you this report that I just jumped right ahead.
Thank you. Just for clarity, we're going to hold a public hearing in discussion of the LCAP. Thank you, Dr. Starkey.
Absolutely. So you will see we did have our 2 meetings, meeting 1 and 2, but in between we sent out our LCAP survey, which is online. It's also hard copies available at sites. We did translate them into Hmong, Spanish, and English, and we did have 409 surveys submitted, telling us how they think we've been doing on the items that we've been funding for the last 4 years. We posted the survey results, and then we put on the webpage the proposed LCAP, which you have here tonight, and allowed for public comments. And we did receive one public comment, and it was specific to our district English language learner committee, and they wanted to know, were we going to be able to add text messaging to School Messenger? And it just so happens that that is a component of our new messaging system we're going to, which is the ARIES system. So yes, so they did have their written comment was given back. I mean, written answer to their comment was given back to them on June 3rd. And then tonight I'm presenting the final draft for your consideration, and then hopefully next Tuesday you will approve the budget and the LCAP as we present them tonight, with perhaps some changes if you have them. So we'll move on. Here's the committee. You can see all of our bargaining units are represented, all levels of school site administration. And so it's a very full group that most of them have been with us for several years. And so we've kind of got the rhythm down to where we know the steps and the processes that we need to be looking at, and the kinds of comments we're hoping to get back from our various constituents groups. This should look familiar. It started back in 2014-15, and on this particular version, I have put in red just the things that are new or changes that I'm proposing for your consideration and approval. The high school said, you know, we love having the AP textbook allocation, but could we roll it into our regular textbook allocation? And so we see here the $30,000 between Lyndhurst and Marysville High School for AP textbooks has been rolled into their allocation. So now, rather than having $30,000, they'll have $45,000 that they can use for AP textbooks or other classroom textbooks that they need. We're going to kind of scroll through the slides and look for the red in the far right column on the screen up here. So you'll see that I did list the fund transfer. So we took the AP allocation, put it with the regular textbooks. And then we also have here, the big recommendation from the committee was the fact that we need more social-emotional counseling for our students. And yes, we started at the high school level, we moved it to the middle school, and the elementary schools have said, we really need the help now. The sooner the students can receive some counseling services, the better it will be for them. So looking to pull funding wherever I could find it, and this happened to be one of them. We did have a credit recovery program called Plato that all of the high schools were supposed to be using. When we went back over the couple of years that it's been in place, the only school that truly uses it on any regular basis has been South Lyndhurst High School, and they use it exhaustively, and their kids earn all kinds of credit. So we'll continue it for them. High schools, if they choose to carry that on, they do have categorical funds that they could use, and they are absolutely fine. It was not fully utilized at their sites. Then I looked at our Air Force ROTC program. We originally set aside $183,897 because that was a number we projected we would need to cover the program costs. And so you can see that actually the salary costs were less than we anticipated, so there is about $47,000 that we can very easily pull from that program without making any changes, other than we're just trying to gather up the funds to see if we can't get some elementary school counselors. We did decide that we needed a 0.35 full-time equivalent of an elementary PE specialist, specifically for Kynoch. Their numbers are just large enough that in order to give them the full level of service we've given to other sites, we needed to increase that. So that's listed there. And then we'll move on. And then we're just going to scroll through the next couple of slides because you'll notice there's no red. So everything is staying the same. The CTE salary increase, we're still negotiating, so we'll see how those play out. You'll be seeing a few things next week. We didn't add any assistant principals. We kept everything on this page the same. And this one. And you do have the handout, so if you need to go back and refer to it to refresh yourself on all of those things that we've been doing. The number one goal, as I mentioned, was to hire elementary school counselors as funding would permit. Through those few things that I showed you, we are able to pull together about $144,000, so that's eliminating a position we've not had funded, which is, it's on page 16. The Hmong translator. We still translate some documents in Hmong, but we don't have the numbers of Hmong parents that need those newsletters as we've had in the past, so we just contract that out through some of our folks that work for us now. So those services are being delivered, but that position has gone unfilled for the last 2 years. The Plato software, that's that credit recovery program that I talked about, just leaving at South Lyndhurst. The money from the Air Force ROTC program, and School Messenger. We have been using that as our way of communicating with parents, but moving into the ARIES system, there is a portal there for parents, and so we're going to utilize that. As such, that program comes from the technology department's budget, and so Brian is going to be picking up that cost. So we pulled in $12,000 there. So based on about $64,000 per brand new school counselor, we could hire potentially two. You'll notice there's a red box in the middle there under goal. We have a couple of other funding sources that are grants. They are limited time grants, so they are a two-year grant under the low-performing student block grant. We have about $300,000 in that fund. Title IV, there are enough funds there. We can pull about $78,000 for a counselor. And then the Medi-Cal reimbursement funds, which Tony Veneer up in Pupil Services monitors and makes sure that we're collecting those from the state when we can. We submit that billing, and we have funding in the amount of around $200,000. So with that funding, we potentially could hire 8 elementary school counselors. And with 13 elementary schools, you know, the thing that happens is students have crises, and it doesn't always happen on the day the counselor is going to be there. So it's nice if we can make sure we have as many days possible where they're available to work with students. As I said, this funding is additional funding. It's grant funding. It's not in the LCAP. That's not something you guys will be approving. You've approved these funds as they've come through. But they are funds that the individuals, Tony Veneer, Jamie Larson, and Lenny Tate have said, you know, this is a perfect use of those funds. Let's use them now while we have them. Now, yes, the grants are only 2 years, but maybe we'll find additional funding as we move closer to the end of those grants. So that's the elementary counseling piece. So we'll move on to the next slide. That all stayed the same. And that stayed the same with the routine maintenance. Here are the funds that I have pulled to cover the elementary school counseling, the school messenger, and the Hmong translator. Vanna's coming back to help me out here. Nothing new on goal 3, and then it's questions. I went through that quickly, so you may have some questions. But the majority of the items are items you have seen for several years at least.
Actually, I do have. Could you go back to page 13, please? Mm-hmm. How come your 13 looks different than my 13?
Let's go to... I threw in a couple of extra pages for background.
So what I'd like to go back is to the elementary school counseling page.
That's page 16.
16, okay. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. So I would say, thank you, Dr. Starkey, for finding these funds that seemed like they've been maybe not being utilized for some time with regards to our $144,000. That's wonderful. And it looks as though for our other potential, we're looking at maybe 8 more. So it seems like we're hoping for a total of 10 school counselors. Certainly the need is there. I understand that need. One of the things I can have some concerns about is, you know, trying to change student emotions or emotional problems that students have is not much like taking an aspirin and trying to get that headache to go away. And by having 8 counselors that are theoretically only guaranteed for 2 years, it concerns me that maybe we're going to start a process of helping students, and then if we don't find additional funding, that we're going to pull the rug out from underneath them. It seems like adding, because again, it seems in my mind, finding sustainable funding for down the road is certainly something or not having sustainable funding is certainly a concern of mine. And then not only from the standpoint of maybe not having continual support for students, it just seemed like adding 10 staff members in 1 year seems like a great deal to me. And again, I know that we're only approving the 2 from an LCAP standpoint, but, you know, as our email conversation, this was our time to try to have that conversation regarding the other 8. It just seems concerning to me, and I noticed that we're approving 6 tonight in our personnel or part in the agenda. Just personally, it just seems like having 10 positions in 1 year seemed like a lot to me.
The need is great. Money is available. And for the students who get the counseling for the next 2 years, it could mean the world of difference to where they can be successful the rest of their career here. Yes, we believe it will make a huge impact, and I'm confident that we'll continue to find funding. It may not be to the level that we have here, but certainly I think this will give us a trial to see, can we see marked improvement in students' social-emotional behavior? The kids who are struggling right now need to have some skills training on how to work well together, conflict management, and some of those skills they'll learn in the next 2 years are skills, as I said before, they'll carry with them for a lifetime. So as much as I'd like to say we can guarantee that funding, I don't know very many things in life that are guaranteed.
Through the chair, Mr. President, I couldn't agree more wholeheartedly with Dr. Starkey. In this day of cyberbullying and emotional turmoil among our younger children, I feel there's never been a greater need than to have the counseling. I know in the past 30, 40 years that programs have been receptive on prior funding or continued funding, but it always seemed in the past that the good ones always seem to get refunded. I would like to really encourage, and hopefully the rest of the board will see the need for counselors at that level. There's just so much, and I don't want to scare people with it, suicidal discussions now or anything else, but the cyberbullying and just the whole idea of single family homes and children that are going without, I think we really have to address that. And one great way to do that is to get more counselors in the school so where these kids have really got a place to go and have someone to talk to. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Crawford, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't think there's a need, but I also think there's a need versus a balance in the district to be able to have sustainable fundings. The need is not the issue. It's just, I guess, the hope that we're going to be able to fund these folks, you know, later on down the road. So I agree, the need is certainly there.
The other thing to remember is this type of service could also be funded through Title I as long as the district establishes a base level of support, because we don't want to get into the supplanting, but sites who do have additional Title I funding could use that to purchase additional days or to, you know, very similar to what we did with the outreach consultants. We found ways, once the grant funding went away, some of the sites, because they found it very valuable to continue those services to their students. So Mr. Carrion has been very busy finding these brand new counselors who will be supervised by Tony Veneer, and they're thrilled to have the jobs that hopefully you will approve tonight. And in conversations that Romero has shared with me, these folks realize that so many of the positions that are out there for them right now are temporary in nature. So they understand that it's based on available funding, and certainly we'll hope that we'll find additional funding to continue their service.
So we currently have six that we're going to approve tonight, and then we're actively searching for four more. Is that it? But it looks as though our up here we have eight potential from other side funding sources and two supported by the LCAP, so it seems 10 to me.
It depends on where these folks come in placement-wise on a salary schedule. So it's always looking at the bottom line of the funding that's available. You may have someone who comes in at higher than $64,000. They may have a number of years of experience and have been just waiting to come to Marysville, and here they are. So that would reduce the number of folks that we'd be able to hire. Okay. So it's contingent upon the level of funding we're willing to set aside for those particular positions. So it could be, may not be. It depends on how many are still out there and looking for positions.
Thank you. Any other comments? One of the things I thought interesting too, I've been, you know, dealing with the LCAP for a number of years, and And I guess my thought or my concept of the LCAP is the LCAP actually drove the entire LCFF of all the money that we get in. And so I know this isn't the first time I've had this conversation with Mike, but I asked him a few of the questions this morning and got some detailed answers. So of our total LCFF of 120 million or 123 million, whatever that number is there, the LCAP actually drives about 20% of the LCFF. So if we're thinking about it, it's a rather, and please, Mike, correct me if I say anything wrong. I was disillusioned until recently of what the LCAP purpose is. And the LCAP not only is designed for helping support students, it actually certainly targets some of the students that we have our unduplicated count through our supplemental and concentration grants that we receive, and now the Title I portions of the LCAP. So the LCAP actually only drives a small portion of the money that we're dealing with throughout the district. And the LCFF justification through the LCAP. Oh, what portions of it, of the LCFF, require justification? So all the students that fall under our supplemental concentration grants and now the Title I grants, we're required to have the LCAP to actually show how we're going to improve education with these particular students. So it was a great learning experience for me just to kind of figure out, because I imagine if we went through our proposed document here, it's not going to add up to our $123 million, but it's still very important for us as a district to be able to show how we're going to utilize those particular funds to improve student outcomes. So.
And those three very specific target groups are our foster youth, our socioeconomically disadvantaged students, and our English learners. So those are the folks who generate those supplemental and concentration funds.
Thank you, Dr. Starkey. Are there any other discussions or comments? We'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Motion to close the public hearing by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. So Dr. Starkey, number two.
The next item is the LCAP for MCAA, and Principal Tim Malone is here. If he'll give us just a brief overview of what he's looking forward to adding next year.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. So I'm here to request the board hold a public hearing to review MCAA's updated local control and accountability plan. And you should all have a handout of our LCAP, MCAA's LCAP. I didn't prepare a PowerPoint, but I can tell you just a few little things. We follow the same timeline pretty much as the district. I try to stay right with the district. So we have parent input. We had a survey that went out. They're always very concerned about a theater and that kind of thing. So you'll see something in there about still trying to pursue some kind of plan or come up with a plan for that. Of course, we are very thankful that the South Audit Marysville will be up and running soon, so that helps. And then they want to maintain funding for the arts at least what the level we did last year. Also, our kids have always been academically lowest of all the subjects that we have, academic subjects in math. And so this year, actually next year, for the first time, we'll be a Title I school because we have more socioeconomically disadvantaged kids. And so with that money, we're getting the plan is to get another math teacher and provide more support classes that directly tie into, say, integrated 3 or even calculus. So it's helping on the other end also. But and so we're hiring another teacher, which will be paid through Title I funds. But in the LCAP, you'll see, I think in Goal 2, we're saving money to purchase another classroom to house that teacher. So next year, that teacher will have to most likely go around team preps to different classes or different teachers' classrooms. So Other than that, I don't know. You have it in front of you. If you have any questions, I can take those for you.
Any questions or comments from board?
I guess the one question I have is for the continuing discussion about the theater.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly hoping that the South Auditorium is a halfway measure.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us are still looking at the Marysville Auditorium as the ultimate,
mm-hmm.
but with the budget being what it is, it's going to take more than the district
right.
to put that together.
Yeah, we realize it's very expensive to get that back up and running.
So yeah. We're certainly hoping that one of these days we can sit down with mm-hmm. you to give you, you know, just some mm-hmm. ideas as what we have been discussing.
Right.
But it's still a major challenge to reopen that theater.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Thank you.
Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Move to close.
Motion to close by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malone. Number 3, field trip approval, Indian education. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the following field trip. Are there any questions or discussions?
This is an annual trip they take, so it's not the first time you've seen this on the agenda.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion approved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Allison. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Business services, public hearing for 2019-2020 proposed adopted budget. We're now opening the public hearing. Mr. Hodson.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. President and trustees. This is a quick look at the budget proposal for next year and our closeout for the current year, estimated actuals. So its purpose here, I want to sort of, we'll have the public hearing. When we come back in a week, we would have the request of the board to give us a positive certification. And as you'll see here, that's, I don't think there's any real controversy with that at all. We're in a good financial position. As I was telling Dr. Starkey today, if you had to put every district's name in a hat and grab one out randomly, you'd be awful lucky to get ours. We're in a fairly good situation, and it's a lot of credit to the members of the board for our physical restraint. So this is a look at the estimated actuals for this year, how we think we're going to finish. I would draw your attention down to the bottom line, showing us with about a $1 million deficit in unrestricted and a total of about 3.2 in the combined. But remember, there's a little bit of an anomaly there in twofold. The first is that every year when we do our estimated actuals, there are just money that sits in little corners, right? Any negative account we've already fixed, but those that have little balances, they end up kind of getting rolled over and then spent the next year, and so that will tend to lead towards a deficit. And the bigger one, you'll see the transfer out. In the board's wisdom, we started preparing for that the COP payments, and so in reality, it's a little bit of a, I'll say dishonest, it's a little bit misleading to look down at the decrease and call that a deficit when we're actually putting money into a separate reserve. So on balance, we're in pretty much equilibrium, and that's a nice place to be. This is the overall fund balance, and you see there. So we have about $27 million is our ending fund balance per our estimated actuals, but we added 1.96 to Fund 17, which gets to about a $29.6 million unrestricted reserve. Now, that can be misleading, and it becomes makes you sort of think you're rolling in cash. There's a couple of things to remember about that. The first one is that we don't project any expenditure that we don't know to be fairly certain. And in particular, if we were to do a retroactive agreement with associations, which is, I think, a likely event, that's about $3 million that will come from that fund balance. There's also kind of hidden in there. Remember that as the state was playing catch up with what they owed us, there's about $10 million in one-time monies, and the board has been very frugal and judicious in our application of those, and so we built up a reserve that way. There's an additional $2.7 million in there that was labeled the OPEB windfall, but where essentially there was money that over many years had accrued in the OPEB account, sort of in a clearing account, and lost in the accounting system. We got that back. So that sort of falls to your bottom line, but again, is not something we'd expect to repeat. And then the accelerated LCFF implementation, and this, I think, is an important concept to talk about. So this slide I stole from School Services. You've probably seen it before, but the dashed line, you know, back in 14-15, when I was first looking at it, that dashed line's never changed. That was their plan. They said, hey, we're going to, over the next 6 years or so, we're going to get to LCFF full implementation. It was this very aggressive plan to sort of get schools back to where they needed to be. The green bars are what they actually did, and the governor pushed very hard to get full implementation, consequently a lot more money, into education before he left office. And so those are what actually occurred. And so since 2013-14, schools, particularly schools with high unduplicated accounts, but really schools across the state, have been the beneficiary of this sort of input of large amounts of capital. I'd like to illustrate that. On the left-hand side, by the way, those are percentages because you started wherever you were in the old model, and we figured out what the supplemental and concentration and base grants were going to get you. So the percentage was how much of that gap they could close, and it would be different for different districts. So in 13-14, I'm just speaking specifically to unrestricted general fund, but we had $56.5 million in 13-14. Going now, 105.3. Pretty nice change. And if you calculate it out and add the compounding and the like, it's about 10.9% per year, which makes doing your budget pretty easy. Every time, if you're getting roughly 10% every year, shoot, it's you're almost limited just by your bright ideas. But I want to show you this next one. I'm really proud of the animation here. But we were 105.3 last year, and boink. So we are now at a point at which, you know, we're essentially in a COLA-only environment, and that COLA then has to take care of all of our increased costs. Next year, our projections for 109.4, and just to save the question, which I'm sure is coming to your mind, if we have a COLA that's a couple of percent, why is there only a million? Remember that last year, we also got one last little taste of one-time money, so that increased the 105 higher than it would have been if it was just a strict LCFF calculation. But that's what we're looking at going forward, is essentially every year a COLA, which hopefully would keep up with the CPI, but may not. And it doesn't account for things like increased costs for PERS and CERS and the like. So here's a multi-year projection. You'll see really the same theme that I talked about a minute ago. The gray bar there highlights the net increase or decrease for each of those years. And as we get out towards 21-22, you see a fairly significant deficit. Now, above that, in transfers out, you'd still see the $2 million. So on balance, it's about an $800,000 deficit into 21-22. But remember that in 22-23, we start paying $2.8 million every year for those COPs. So my advice is that when we approach that, we could continue to pay $2 million and then start to pay ourselves back with that Fund 17. That was our plan to mitigate the impact of that. The other thing that we did do in here just for planning is we went ahead and put our latest proposal for salaries into there. So that includes a 2% ongoing raise. So any other changes would not be reflected there, but it does at least include that. So let's talk about that a little bit. So as you can see, the projections indicate a downward trend as these costs increase and burden us greater than the COLA, although not tremendously, but certainly a factor. It could get worse, or honestly, it could get better, and we just don't know. There's the economy is a kind of a wild card there. There's a number of legislative actions. Some of them are aspirational. Some of them are legitimately attempting to put more money into education. Enrollment could change, and that could be both good and bad, depending on how much where it comes and how much growth we have to accommodate. And then obviously any employment agreements, since we are, at the end of the day, we are largely driven by our manpower costs. And then the COPs, as I mentioned. Here's a little talk quickly about the assumptions. There's a kind of a misnomer going around where it was stated that boy, this is great because our CERS costs are less than they were. No, they're most certainly not. They are less than what the increase is less than what we had thought it would be. And you can see, in particular, when you look there to to 1920, we had expected it to be 8.13. It is only 16.7 because the governor and now the legislature has put more money into it. But that is still about 0.5% higher than it was last year at 16.28. And so it is not that we have a windfall of additional cash. We just have less of a penalty. The PERS costs, just in the next probably month or two, we expect that PERS costs will also come down. Money was put in the budget to offset that, but PERS operates on a separate board, and we do not yet have what their rates will be. Looking the larger picture at our different fund summaries, you can see our general fund looking to end next year at $29.7 million. Cafeteria fund, we're doing well there. We are essentially in equilibrium, which is, again, good for them. Not a lot of districts can't manage that. You see the deferred maintenance, the special reserves growing that over the next handful of years. Again, that'll be an important tool. The building fund is the bond money that we drew out earlier this year. Capital facilities, a lot of that will be spent when we pay for Edgewater. But those are those. And so, in summary, as I said, we're in a pretty healthy position. There are definitely challenges ahead. The deficit is a challenge, but you can't hardly look at any education-based article and not see districts up and down the state that are really struggling with how they're going to make ends meet. And we are in a spot where, yeah, we can absorb a little bit. We can absorb some highs and lows. We could absorb a short deficit or a short recession. The LCFF is complete, so basically we're COLA only in any given year, again, unless the legislature decides to take action. There's a lot of push to try to increase educational funding in the state. And there are risks to the economy as a whole, but the rainy day fund that was established over the last several years provides about 10% of the total state's budget that I think could mitigate any, at least a short-term deficit, and we wouldn't be back to the days where it's, you know, a deficit that immediately results in draconian cuts by the individual LEA. And so with that, questions?
Any questions or comments from board? Thank you very much, Mr. Hodson. Sure. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor, is there any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let's see, we've done those. Personnel services. Looks like we have a number of folks that we're hiring and some leaving. Is there a motion or any discussion?
Motion to approve, if there's no discussion.
Motion to approve, Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Item number 2, we have a tentative agreement with operating engineers, local number 3. Mr. Carrion, do you have any discussion on that?
Pretty straightforward. Ultimately, it's an opportunity to recognize our employees through this agreement. We had fruitful conversations, and if approved, it would mean an increase of 2% to salary wage scales for all of those represented by operating engineers. In addition to that, there'd be a 2% off-schedule payment as noted there. We would certainly recommend that the board approve this particular TA as presented.
Mr. Carrion, I would just like to say thank you for your ongoing discussion with this bargaining unit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Number 3, agreement with School Services of California Incorporated for search and recruitment of Assistant Superintendent of Business Services. Do we have anyone want to address that?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. I can address that. In summation, what we have is an opportunity, as services are offered by the School Services of California through this agreement. It was imperative that we started the process ultimately just prior to this being presented. So it is before us as a ratification after seeking preliminary approval, not official approval, but certainly from the standpoint that we would be, as the cliche goes, behind the eight ball should we wait any longer. There were a number of pieces that needed to be put in place, including the approval of a timeline, the generation and development of recruitment brochures, and ultimately the proper placement of announcements at the various entities that would be prepared to publicize and announce this vacancy. All of that said, we entered into this contract opportunity with School Services of California, the preeminent search firm for CBOs and other business officials. We have partnered with School Services of California in the past. Their fees are slightly more than we have paid in the past, but certainly assured that a process, full vetting process, is in place. Today, we approved the timeline. Approved the timeline so that we can be assured that we would place our announcement at the various key strategic places and entities, and then ultimately with the hope that we would fully shake the bushes and get quality candidates. To that end, there is a brochure that's been developed. There are other opportunities and more abbreviated brochures that are going out to perhaps interested parties. And the hope is that in short order, we would fully vet candidates to ensure that we would have a qualified and ultimately approved candidate to present to you through a completely transparent and exclusive process of technical panels, community panels, and ultimately full involvement of the board so that we would find our next assistant superintendent to oversee business services.
I just want to say thank you very much, Mr. Carrion, for getting right on this. I think that's very, very important for us to do, so thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
What does it look like, the timeline, when you would have somebody on board?
Ask again, please. What your question
is? The timeline when you think somebody will be on board.
If we follow the full timeline, we're probably looking, ideally, to have someone on board in early October.
Okay.
Have we used SSC in the past, Mr. Carrion?
We have. There are a number of search firms out there for CBOs. Of course, there are a number of search firms in general for executives throughout the United States. School Service has by far the best reputation. There are a number of other districts throughout up and down the state that are still looking at this particular time. Sac City, for example, is looking, given some of the tumultuous situations there. But more to the point, by providing a full timeline, we wanted to ensure that perhaps those that were on vacation, those that are speculating as to whether or not they need a career change, would further and fully vet out our district as an option that's viable for them. Had we presented a more abbreviated timeline, then in all likelihood, we would have risked, if you will, the fact that we'd be vetting out inexperienced, unseasoned, and perhaps folks that have been jumping around from district to district. It was well worth the opportunity and the full timeline as consulted by School Services California to ensure that we get the best candidates available at this particular time.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other discussion or questions? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7 yes.
Before you clank that gavel, in front of you, you'll find a little yellow post-it with your name on it. If you would take these three documents, the draft form of the MCAA plan, the budget, and our district plan, and put your post-it note on top, we will be changing out the top that says proposed to final, and you'll get them back next Tuesday. So if you've made notes in there, you'll get back your same package of documents. And if you'll just leave them right in front of your nameplate, Lisa will collect them and take care of them and bring them back to you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stardy. Meeting adjourned. If the board could take a short recess and then meet back into closed session, let's say 6:05.